Getting started is often the scariest part of any side hustle. So today I'm talking with an edupreneur all about the steps she took to get her side hustle off the ground. Stick around. Welcome to Side Hustle Teachers, where we believe that being a teacher doesn't mean you have to be broke or burnt out. Our mission is to help teachers like you build successful businesses so you can find financial freedom, pursue your passions, and discover the many options that exist for you beyond the classroom walls. Hey there, and hello. I'm Stacey Ogden, your host, and this is the Side Hustle Teachers Podcast. I'm super excited to have you join us today because we are talking about taking action to start your side hustle dreams moving forward. We're going to be talking with Erica Terry, and she is going to be sharing all about how she decided what side hustle to do, how to go about it, leveraging her network to build her business, and of course, all of those mindset issues that come into play when you go to do anything new. Now, before we jump in, I would love it if you could go and leave our little podcast a wonderful review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you are using. Whenever you leave us a rating, it lets iTunes know that we are super helpful and helps other people find us as well. So that would be very much appreciated if you are enjoying the content on the Side Hustle Teachers podcast. Many, many thanks to our loyal listeners, and those of you who are just turning in for the first time, welcome. We're glad you're here. Now, today's talk with Erica is all about taking action to get your side hustle off the ground. And what I love about this talk is that Erica and I basically walk through the first steps of building a business. And she talks about how she made decisions to help her escape some of the traps that entrepreneurs often make and some of the roadblocks that still pop up, because no matter how prepared you are, there's always going to be something that you have to work around, through, or over. So let's jump in with Erica. So Erica, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too. Now, for those of you who are listening, you don't actually know this, and I probably don't have to tell you, but Erica and I actually recorded this interview way back when in like February, and there were tech problems, and she was kind enough to come back and do it all over again. So thank you for being understanding about technology, because sometimes it just sucks. And glad to have you back.
No problem. And I understand even more now. I just started a podcast last week, actually. And yay. So I am entering this space and that technology thing. Woo!
Yeah. It can be, it's a hurdle. It's a hurdle you have to overcome. Yay. So before we jump in though and learn all the good stuff you have to share with us today, how about you tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I am Erica Terry. I can officially say now host of Classroom the CEO podcast. Yay. I have been in education. I'm wrapping up my 17th year. I started as a high school biology teacher, and I kind of moved my way up all the way to the district office, chief academic officer. And then after a 10-year fertility battle, my husband and I were blessed with a daughter. And at that moment, I just wanted something different. So I left all of that behind. Now I do coaching and consulting with in special education with the focus on co-teaching. And then, of course, I'm a side hustler as well. And so I have that going on in addition to what I do in education. So, yes.
Yes. So a lot of balls in the air, like many yes. side hustlers.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can totally relate to your story of once you have a kid, your priorities just shift. And that was the impetus for me starting my side hustle as well. I was not happy with education or where it was going or what it was starting to look like. And I said, if I'm going to leave my daughter in somebody else's hands, then it better be for a good reason and something I really believe in. And, you know, it turned out that my side hustle actually changed my perspective on teaching, and here I am, however many years later, and still teaching. So, you know, that's, I totally get that. It just really just opens up your mind and makes you look at all sorts of different possibilities. So
I would agree. And it really makes you focus in on just empowering others and helping others. And so, yes, like when you start side hustling, it just opens your eyes to like so many possibilities that you didn't even realize were there before.
Yeah, absolutely. I could never imagine, you know, back when I started this journey that I would end up here like at all, like in any aspect of my business. It has all completely evolved into something unrecognizable from where I started, but that's the fun part. That's
that
I love.
Yes, I would agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. So Erica, one of the things we wanted to talk about today is that you went about starting your side hustle in a way that I think is a really like good way for people to start thinking about how they might serve other people, in that you started looking around at your own situation in the classroom and said, this is a problem. And if it's a problem for me, I think it's going to be a problem for other people. So how did you sort of go through that process of identifying what to do as a side hustle?
Yes, you made it sound way better than the way it actually happened.
The way you just
described it, I'm like, oh, I wish it had been that easy. No, so actually when I first decided to side hustle, I was just really frustrated with education. And so I approached it like, I don't want anything to do, like just give me something that doesn't have anything to do with education. And so I started researching, because you know us educators, we will research and we are so used to multitasking and having so many balls that we just like, oh, we'll figure this out. You know, I'll figure it out. And so I started researching, and that's when I kind of learned about this online space. So I actually started with a blog called Focus Implement Triumph.
Okay.
Yes. And so I was going to focus on like goal setting, and you know, it was just way too broad. I really didn't know like who I was serving, how I was going to help them. Needless to say, that didn't work out too well. And so, but it was a good learning experience, because it just taught me the value of having your expertise. And with us being educators, like we naturally have an expertise that we don't even really recognize. And so despite the fact that that venture had failed, I still had this place in my heart that I wanted to side hustle. I wanted to create this legacy for my daughter. And so I just wasn't going to give up.
Yeah. And you know what? The other thing is, I like to point out too, that it didn't fail. It was a learning experience.
Yes.
Right? Like, this is what we tell our kids all the time as teachers, right? You didn't fail. You learned something. What did you learn? And how can you do better next time? But when it's us, we want everything to be perfect right out of the gate.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're a complete and utter failure. Oh my God. And, you know, we have to start taking some of our own advice. Otherwise, we have to stop giving it out. And we just have to let our kids just throw their hands up in the air and say, I failed. I can't do it.
Right. And mm-hmm. I mean, you're so right, because I learned so many skills that I didn't realize I had. Had you asked me before that if I was creative, I would have said no. And you know, now I create everything, images, posts, you know, so I did have this creative side that I was able to tap into through that experience. But when I decided, okay, I picked it up again, I was like, okay, I was way too broad, so I have to be specific, which is one, you know, lesson for anybody that's starting this journey. And that's where I came up with this whole teacher problem to teacherpreneur mindset, where I am an expert in something. So I had to, for me, identify what that was. And so, of course, I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. I have classroom experience. Why not use that to my advantage? Why not use that, use my own classroom skills, my own knowledge to build a business. And that's what I did. And so I thought through like the success, well, the challenges that I experienced and then those that I was able to overcome. And for me, the big one was co-teaching. When I first started teaching, my co-teacher was a couple of years away from retirement. So she was kind of tapped out already. And so it was a very frustrating experience for me, feeling like that I was overwhelmed, teaching everything, planning everything, grading everything, just so much stuff to do. And after, you know, several years, I got with the new co-teacher. We were able to build a strong relationship, really rock it out. And so that's what I decided to focus on as I built my business, helping other co-teachers that are struggling with building that relationship, struggling to plan together, struggling to implement those co-teaching models. I built a business around helping them because I figured if it was a problem for me, I'm not the only teacher that has experienced that problem. So if I was able to figure it out and solve it for myself, then there are other teachers out there that are struggling with that exact same area. And I can use my business to empower them to, you know, hone in on their craft and to ultimately develop their own skills, but empowering their students at the same time. So it was a win-win.
Yes, absolutely. And you guys can't see me right now, but I'm nodding my head. I look like a bobblehead as Erica's talking. Like, yes, yes, there's so much yes here. First of all, that you looked around and you said, what is a problem that I have overcome, right? Mm-hmm. There are some people I know that start a business that if they want to do like a blog or a YouTube channel or something, that they'll actually be in the middle of a problem. And their channel will be all about how do I go about solving this? And they try different things. And that works too.
Yes.
But you know, you took a problem that you had in your personal teaching situation and said, okay, I overcame this problem and this is how I did it, which is important. You can identify how you did it. And how can I use this to help other people? And then the other thing is that I love the phrase, the riches are in the niches.
Oh, yes.
Right? You took it down and you narrowed it down. Instead of trying to be all things to all teachers all the time, said, this is the situation. If you are co-teaching, this can be a rough transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've never had a co-teacher. I know if they stuck one in my classroom, I would be mystified as to how to work with this person. So that's absolutely something that I know is necessary for teachers to have is training on that. So bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo for finding a problem, identifying a solution, niching down, because those are all things that I'm constantly asking people to do. When they work with me, I'm like, okay, so who are we going to serve? Well, I can serve everyone. No, 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 honey, you can't. So.
Right. But you know, it is, and I agree wholeheartedly, like if they're a third grade teacher, I'm going to create resources for third grade teachers, you know? And so that niching down part is so important just to make you stand out from everyone else. If you can hone in and say, I will help you solve this specific problem, then if I have that problem, I'm immediately coming to you because I know that you focus and you specialize in that area.
Yeah, exactly. So think about what would you Google if you had that problem, right? You wouldn't Google math lessons. You would you would Google math lessons for third grade. You know, you want to think about what you would Google and be that specific so that you can be the first one on Google. I just heard the phrase, I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about a conversation they had and they said, if you want to bury a dead body, do it on the second page of Google because you want to be the first person in what you're doing.
That is so true. I've never thought about it like that, but who even gets to the second page of Google, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wow, that's a really good one right there.
Yeah. Knowledge bomb. I stole that from another podcast. So just FYI, it's not my knowledge bomb. I'm just sharing the truth with you all. Okay, so now you've identified this and you've got this niche and you've got this service that you want to offer. So what steps did you take? Like, how did you know what to do next?
You know, and it was really just utilize. So I didn't know. It was all, you know, I didn't have this perfect answer like, hey, I'm going to do this. But what I have learned through my experiences is number one, begin by leveraging those relationships that you have. As educators, you know, for me, I have worked in multiple schools in multiple states. I have worked at the State Department. And so I had these relationships that I was able to leverage. And so that's what I used to get started. But then I also, this year, made it, and really it started last year, really just putting myself out there, like moving past that fear of, no, you know, who would believe me? All of those fears that you have that just stop you and keep you hidden just with your website or social media page. And I started just pitching, like, to present at conferences. And so I started presenting at local conferences here in Georgia last year. I was scheduled before all of this happened to expand. I had secured a spot in Alabama at a conference and just some places that it wouldn't cost me a lot of money to travel to, but I would be able to expand my brand, expand my offerings, utilizing that. And so, of course, presenting at conferences, getting on podcasts. I mean, you just, what we don't realize, and I feel like because as educators, we don't naturally have that business, like we have to grow and develop that business mindset. And so it's like so many education podcasts out here and people are looking for guests to interview. And so just sending an email like, hey, I love your podcast. I have this idea. Let's chat about it. I mean, just getting yourself out there. And it's definitely a mental block, or at least for me, that I had to cross and just say, you know what, I would rather someone say no, not at this time, than for me not to just even try, because at least there's the opportunity for them to say yes. If I don't put myself out there, then I'm just blocking my own growth. So that's what it was really about, just starting to put myself out there and then leveraging the relationships that I already had.
Yeah. And you know, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. So you know, there's no harm in asking. And we had Angie Trueblood came in the group a couple weeks ago. I think it's a month ago. Time is all blurry now. and she was sharing about her sort of skill set is pitching to podcasts. And, you know, that was a really interesting conversation about how to go about doing that and identifying them. That's actually been moved over to the Edupreneur Academy now in the archive. So if you'd like to join Edupreneur Academy. But the thing is, you have to start somewhere. And if you have a network of people like you have, then start with the people you already know. Like, you know their friendly faces. You know that they're not going to point and laugh at you. They know that they're not going to, you know, they're going to be supportive. Even if they can't help at that time or they don't know anybody, they can still give you an attagirl, you know, or an attaboy. And say and validate that what you're doing is realistic and needed and other things. So you don't have to start by pitching yourself to Good Morning America.
Right.
In fact, you should not start by pitching yourself to Good Morning America. Start small and then expand your reach, you know, from Georgia to a neighboring state, to podcasts, to national audiences.
Right, exactly. And I mean, when I say start small, like I'm even thinking, you know, if you're kind of nervous, just start at your school. Ask your principal, like, hey, can I work with my department to give this training? Just to give yourself that practice so that when you do go to a conference, like to kind of get the butterflies out, you know, and get feedback on your presentation style, on the information. Like, if you start with people you know or places where you have that relationship, then they'll give you true feedback. Like, you know, that 10-minute window right there, you need to kind of, my people were getting bored or something, you know, whatever it is. But, gives you the opportunity to kind of like build your brand. It gives you, you know, you can say, hey, I delivered this. I know where to fix it, so that when you do get out there in front of people that you don't know, you already have perfected all of those areas.
So, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes people, I've worked with a couple clients who they didn't feel comfortable going to people they knew. They wanted to start with strangers. So like something like an ed camp, which mm-hmm. is totally free for people to attend. And they somehow that made it much easier for them because they were like, even if I stink, they didn't pay anything. They didn't waste any money.
Right.
And I can just get better. And I was like, go for it. Yes. So, you know, you can start with people you know, or if that makes you more nervous, then you can start with total strangers and do something like an ed camp. Or if you're not even in the education space, start with your chamber of commerce and see if people would like to do, if you can do a presentation for your local chamber of commerce or something like that. But there are tons of free opportunities to speak that you can sort of hone that skill and at the same time spread the word about what you do.
Exactly. And the whole point is you start, just start. That's what it's all about. Like that is the hardest step, like just to start. And so definitely encouraging your listeners, just start, just do it. Hey, mm-hmm. I'm Nike right now. Just do it.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really the theme of this whole season three, is we want to take action. So as you were going through this process and you started to figure out your niche and exactly who you wanted to serve and exactly how you wanted to serve them, what were some of the sort of roadblocks that popped up along the way for you?
Well, definitely time is always a roadblock, especially when you're side hustling, because you already have your job and then you have a family, then you have your business. So, you know, it's trying to make time for all of those things. And for me, I just really had to prioritize. Luckily, I was able to create a schedule, a flexible schedule. So I am able to take off so many days per year and I can choose those days. So I have that opportunity that when I contract with schools, I'm able to get out through the year and do those trainings and things like that. And so time is definitely one of the first roadblocks. And then the second one is all about the mindset. And that's one of the things that I'm really talking about and focusing on now, because the mindset can really hinder your growth if you don't have that entrepreneur, teacherpreneur, edupreneur mindset. Because, I mean, as educators, we are so loving and we want to help everyone. And, you know, we will give of ourselves constantly around the clock if that's what it takes to help someone else succeed. But when it comes to business, I've had to learn I can't give it all away for free. You know, I can give you some stuff, but I have to think of this as a business as well. And so just learning that and really honing in and building my own entrepreneur mindset.
So yeah, because mindset is one of those things that comes up over and over and over again for people who are transitioning into anything new. Mm-hmm. You know, as educators, we're not trained to promote ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trained to be team players. We're trained to be helpful to others, but we're not trained to promote ourselves. Like the kids show up in our classroom, whether we want them there or not. So,
exactly.
You know, we have no control over that. We just roll with it. So it's an exercise to get our mind around, yes, I have to talk about myself and I have to let other people know that I'm offering something. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being a pain in the patoot by doing that. I'm just offering something that I think can help.
Yes.
What were some of the things that you did to help you through those mindset blocks?
Well, one of the things, and I think the most important thing for me, was to get off the island. When I first started, I kind of was just trying to figure it all out on my own. I felt really like in this space by myself. And so like having and joining those membership groups, your membership group, for example, and surrounding myself with other side hustlers really helped me a lot, because it helped me to, number one, you know, they would point out to me those areas that I needed to grow in. I mean, as simple as what you just talked about, making an offer. We just don't think like that as educators. And so, you know, I would have this great presentation, and at the end of it, I never made an offer. And
yeah,
so I didn't invite people to continue working with me. But that's something that I learned about as I got more involved in membership groups and courses, things of that nature, to try to teach myself and make that transition from being like an educator to an entrepreneur.
So it's funny, because we were talking about this mindset shift and working through it and joining groups, which I think is a fantastic way to do this. And one of the things you said that you struggle with is something that so many people, not just educators, but so many people struggle with, and that's making the offer. And, you know, so we tend to do one of two things, right? We either continue to give them free help, mm-hmm. free, or we just stop and there's like an awkward silence and we don't do anything. And it's, you know, either one of those doesn't really help the person as much as you just offering your services,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it does take some work, and it does take some shifting around of those thoughts in your head that it's okay. They can either say yes or they can say no. I'm just offering.
Exactly. And for me, I mean, it was really a roadblock for me to, you know, get to that place where I felt comfortable making the offer. And so for me, I had to settle it in my mind. Because I agree, you can't do too much free, but I had to learn that on my own. And so it took me a while to get to that place, because I just felt like I didn't have a good balance. Like I was doing free because I wanted so badly to empower people. But at the same time, I'm trying to build a business. And so right. That was the struggle that I had to overcome and do it in a way that I still felt good about it.
Yeah. And you're certainly not alone. And the thing is, you end up starting to feel resentful of your business if you don't actually start to bring in an income, because you're giving so much away for free, that that's kind of the opposite of the point of owning a business. Is, you know, you're trying to empower others, but you also want to empower yourself
right.
to, you know, make a living and help support your family and, you know, do other things that you want to do, go on vacation, save for a house, whatever it is.
Right.
So yeah, it's a delicate balance,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. And everybody finds their own happy place,
yes.
you know, their own happy medium. So I'm definitely glad that has been worked through for you, because that's a big struggle point for everybody.
Yes, it is. And I mean, you are right. It's all about finding that happy place where you can go to sleep at night feeling like you fulfilled your mission, and also feeling good about the outcome that you're getting from your business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Erica, I want to say thank you so much for being here. And how can people find you if, you know, they want to learn more about what you do?
Yeah, so you can find me across all social media platforms at Erica Terry CEO. And then you also can find me on my website at classroomtoceo.com.
Awesome. So we will have those links in the show notes too. So for anybody who wants to just click, if you're listening in a podcast app, then they'll be right below. And if not, if you're listening on the website, then it's also right below. So nice and easy for you. Just click and follow. Well, thank you, Erica. I know there's a lot of people out there who are going to benefit from hearing, you know, the steps that you took to actually grow a business that, you know, produces some income for your family.
Yes.
All right. Take care.
Well, thank you.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Side Hustle Teachers Podcast, I invite you to check out the Edupreneur Academy at members.sidehustleteachers.com. Edupreneur Academy is an essential resource for any teacher looking to start or grow a side hustle while still being a boss in the classroom. Whether you're still narrowing down your idea for a business or you're already up and running and are looking for ways to grow and attract customers, Edupreneur Academy can help you get to the next level. With our course library, monthly live calls exclusively for members, and easy priority access to ask questions and get help, feedback, and advice, Edupreneur Academy is the perfect place for any teacher trying to start, manage, and grow a profitable side hustle. Check it out at members.sidehustleteachers.com. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I know that you're busy and your time is precious, so I truly appreciate you spending some of it with me. If you like what you're hearing, you can support Side Hustle Teachers in three ways. Leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Reviews help Apple know we're here and we're helpful so more people can find us. You can share the show with friends and family. Did you know that podcast listenership is growing every single year? And a lot of that is because of recommendations from people just like you. And lastly, join our community. You can find Side Hustle Teachers on all the major social platforms, and we have a very active, engaged Facebook group. Join us. All the cool kids are doing it. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful week, and until next time, take care.